worship and prayer. And so you need to learn about this. So I want to encourage you, sign up. She's going to be out there right in the foyer there when you leave. And you can talk to Liz, and she'll take care of you. Right, Liz? Yes, Liz. Okay. Let's give Roy and the team a round of applause, and Roy's going to come and share. Don't miss it.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I want to really encourage you to invest in your spirituality. If some of you have been kind of on the fence about whether you're going to come or not, you know, what is more important than your intimacy with God? There's nothing that is more valuable to you than your relationship with God. I want to challenge you if you're thinking about, well, $25, I mean, come on, I could go to the movie for that, right? How many times we go to the movies and do different things and we value things differently? And so I just want to encourage you, invest in your spirituality. Invest in your intimacy with God. It's going to pay eternal dividends. Amen? So $25 in the whole scheme of things, or $40 in the whole scheme, if you want to invest in your marriage, if you want to invest in your spirituality, how many of you know that when your intimacy, when you're right in your relationship with God, it affects all the other areas of your life, right? So I just want to really encourage you. There's nothing more prophetic when it comes to being able to tune your heart and tune your mind to the heart and mind of God. And worship. Worship is the place, isn't it? I bet you each of you were hearing from God as we were worshiping tonight in the way that God wanted to speak to you. Whether you knew it or not, God was speaking to you. So I want to welcome everyone to the meeting place. I want to welcome you to Voice Ministries. Tonight is a night that we do once a month, and we call it like the prophetic meeting place. And the emphasis is on prophetic topics, issues related to hearing and communing with God, how to be able to minister the voice of God to others. And usually we have a lesson type of a thing, and but we're going to do things a little different tonight. We're going to do a format where we're going to interview some of those who've been on the prophetic team, not just the prophetic team, but have been prophetic ministers in the region for many years. And I remember when I was learning how to hear God's voice, or just starting to get into it and wasn't real sure. And I could find a few books here and there of people who mentioned it, but they could never really get into the things that I wanted to talk to someone who really heard the voice of God. And I wanted to talk to someone and hear what someone had to say who could prophesy with accuracy, who could prophesy and rightfully represent the heart of God. And so a few of us tonight, we're going to do that. And if you guys could go ahead and bring the chairs up, I'm going to have if you could just line them up right here, that'd be great. Before we do get started, though, I wanted to proclaim something and prophesy something. Last Sunday morning, as we were here in the service, I don't know if many of you remember, earlier in the year, a prophetic word that went forth about there being a spiritual drought. And it was one of the things that I had prophesied, and that even though there was a drought, that God was still in our hearts, that God was still moving and touching us. And the drought in the natural was a representation and a type of the drought that was going on spiritually. How many of you felt like you were in the desert this summer? Yeah? Well, good. Only a couple of you, huh? I think that probably there's a few more of you than that. But you feel like maybe you were in the desert season, like things were dry, things were hard. And so last Sunday, I heard the Lord say to me to proclaim the drought is over. He clearly said to me to proclaim the drought is over. And he said to call forth and declare the abundance of God's rains are coming and are here. And so I'm going to step in the role of a prophet right now. And I'm just going to ask you to, unless God gives me more, I'm not going to go real long and prophesy anymore. Just exactly what God's told me to do. Because how many of you know sometimes, unless it's spoken, unless it's prophesied, it's not going to happen. We co-labor with God. And he tells us to speak things. He tells us to do things. And there are times when things just need to be spoken and declared that it's the will of God. And then God honors his word. So I'm going to ask you guys to agree with me as I prophesy this, and extend your faith with me, because how many of you know there is a lot of people who are dry and thirsty? I know I could sure use a drink of the Holy Spirit, as much as He'll give me, yeah? So in the name of Jesus, I just proclaim that the spiritual drought in Michiana is over. And I call forth now the abundance of God's rain, and I declare the rain that is coming is already here now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. So I want to just go ahead and we're gonna start interviewing a couple of the team members, and we have a few questions here that I'm going to present to them. And if you could, if you guys could go ahead and give an applause and welcome Brad Needhammer and Penny Moore. Now, I just want to say a quick word about Brad and Penny. Actually, the three of us have been, I believe, hearing the voice of God for about the same amount of time, somewhere around 18 to 20 years, somewhere in that, where we have been working on it, and God has helped us to hear His voice and has helped us to be able to understand what He's saying. And actually, Penny and Brad have been prophesying longer than I have. And I think that somewhere around 15 to 16 years, it might be a little bit longer for Penny. I'm not sure what the, you know, I'm not quite sure where it's at.
Are you trying to say I'm older?
No. Yeah, and so it's in that area. And so there's been a lot that's happened in this region, and there's been a lot that God has done in the prophetic movement and in the ministry of prophecy and the prophetic ministry in these 15 years. And so it's one thing to read about the prophetic ministry, and it's another thing to hear the words of someone who's lived it and who's gone through it and ministered. And I would vouch for both of Penny and Brad's ministry. They're extremely accurate. They're very integrous. They have a passionate relationship with God. They're always working to get closer to the Lord. And I trust their hearts. I trust their ministry. They're team leaders here at Voice. But they're also, I would say, spiritual fathers and mothers, especially in the realm of hearing God and prophecy, but also just walking the walk. Because if you're not sure, I just let you know that there's a big price that comes with the prophetic ministry. It's not something where, you know, you're visiting and there's angels and you're caught up into heaven. I mean, those things happen sometimes, but there's a price. If you're going to speak for God, He is going to try you, and He's going to make sure that when you speak in an integrous way. Amen? And that's how we want it, right? We don't want somebody sharing what their thoughts or what their feelings are over us. We want to know what God's thoughts are and God's feelings are. So anyway, I have some questions that I'm going to ask Penny and Brad, and they're going to share, and then we're going to minister. So if you guys could give us just kind of a brief answer. I just want to, let me start with you, Brad. How has hearing God affected your life?
Well, you know, I'd say the first prophetic word that I ever got, I didn't even know what it was, but it changed the whole course of my life. I was at a meeting, and some guy come up to me, and I was searching answers, searching out God, trying to figure out who God was and stuff. I don't know if I was really saved at the time. I was just a real seeker, seeking truth. I looked for truth in all the wrong places, but I came to this service, and these people had just come back from Toronto in the mid-90s, and the presence of God was so strong. I'd never experienced the presence of God like that. And this guy comes up to me, and I'm like, what is that feeling? He goes, that's God. I said, wow. And he comes to me, and he goes, son, the Lord wants me to tell you something. He wants to speak to you. And I was like, really? You hear from God? And he goes, He goes, you can't keep walking with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, or it's going to tear you apart. And that's all he said to me. First prophetic word I ever got. Little did he know, I'd never met this guy before in my life. Little did he know that not even 3-4 days before that, I had drawn a picture of myself in my little notebook of me going down a road that had split into a Y. And I had one foot in the world, one foot on the church path. I called it the church path because that's all I knew at the time. And that word changed my life. I was like, did you come into my apartment? How did you know that? And he goes, that's a prophetic word. And that was my first experience with a prophetic word. So there's so many other stories, and for sake of time, I'll just leave it at that. But it changed the direction of my life, the very first prophetic word that I got.
Very good. How about you, Penny? How has hearing God affected your life?
I think for the most part it's given me faith and confidence that God loves me. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a situation that was from a dysfunctional home, and I felt very abandoned and really rejected all of my life. And when I surrendered my life to Christ, he moved into my heart and he spoke to me tenderly. And when I heard my name called, when he said my name for the first time, something changed on the inside of me. And I knew right then and there that there truly is a God, and he truly does care about my life, and he truly does love me. If he loved me enough to say my name, and I tell you, I was a professional sinner at the time, and so it wasn't like I was floating on this spiritual cloud, but he said my name in the midst of my pain and suffering and insecurities, and he moved into my heart. And for the very first time, I realized that I could have confidence that God cared about me and he loved me unconditionally, which was something I never had experienced before in my life. And it changed my life forever. Mm-hmm. And truly, when the Bible says the goodness of God brings you to repentance, mm-hmm. in my case, that was really true. And so it just gave me confidence to know that there is a God and he loves me. And the scripture talks about my sheep hear my voice. And so you are the sheep of God. That's and right. You can hear God's voice, and he wants you to hear his voice.
That's right. And for me, when I heard God, I knew that I was hearing God for myself for the first time. Just like what Penny had mentioned and Brad had mentioned, my whole self-worth completely changed. I went from an orphan or a slave type of thinking into a son. I began to realize that the God of all creation was so personal with me that I have never been the same since. It completely changed my life. It was one of the most pivotal and momentous times of my life when I realized that I could hear God for myself and that he was speaking to me personally. Okay, the second question, I'll pose this to Penny first. How does hearing God for your personal life differ from how you hear God in the prophetic ministry for others? Let me say that again. How does hearing God for your personal life differ from how you hear God in the prophetic ministry for others?
Wow. That's a biggie. Truly, I'm very careful. I'm very careful about hearing God for myself. And the reason for that is if there's something really personal in my life that I really need direction, I need a true word from the Lord. What happens sometimes in our life is hearing for ourselves. You want what you want when you want it, typically. That is kind of the way we humans are. And sometimes you want something, and you want it so desperately that your soul gets involved, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you think you're hearing God because you're very wrapped up in what you want. And so I'm very careful about hearing the Lord for myself because I usually go to the head of a pastor or one of the gentlemen and females that are over me to give me some perspective. Because when you want what you want when you want it, sometimes your soul will get involved and you think it's God. You really think you've heard from God and this is the direction that you should go. But the truth is you're so emotionally charged that you can think it's God and it really isn't. So for me personally, I always get godly counsel. I surround myself with, I'm submitted in order under people that love me and that will speak into my life. Now, hearing for others, that's easy. I can do that because my emotions are not engaged. Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm making sense here, but that is for me. I can hear for others because I'm not in the soulical realm. I don't have the mind, the will, and emotions engaged when I prophesy over you because I have a clear channel to hear and I have an unbiased opinion. But when I'm hearing for myself, I can have a little static sometimes. So I have wonderful people around me that will speak the truth in love. And isn't that great that we have people coming alongside of us? If we have a blind side, they can come in and really make the difference because our choices, we pay consequences for choices. It's just the way it is. And God loves us and he'll pull us out of the fire, but why go in the fire in the first place?
Brad, how is hearing God for your personal life different than hearing others when you prophesy for them?
Well, I'd say that, you know, when I'm hearing God for myself, I always prophesy Ferraris, gold bars, sacks of money, treasure chests. No, I'm just kidding. had to break the ice there a little bit. You know, the easiest people to prophesy for are the people that we're just doing on recorder and they're not even here. I can't see their face. I can't sense their emotions. One thing about being prophetic is a lot of times you can read people. And you got to be careful not to use that to prophesy. It's challenging. When someone comes in the room that, or somebody comes up for ministry that we know, it's harder to prophesy to people that we know versus people that we don't. And hence, because of that, to hear God for yourself, like Penny said, it's even more difficult. I'll be honest with you, I always go for confirmation. You know, sometimes I make decisions way too quick and think, oh, that was God. And the next thing you know, it's like, that was not God. So like you know, Roy said before, I've been doing this a long time, but I'm still making lots of mistakes. And I've learned from experience that I'm going to get confirmation. It says out of mouth of two or three witnesses, I like to get three if I can. So for me, you know, and I'll go to somebody that I know that I can trust to speak into my life, like Penny said. And I won't tell them any of the situation. And it's amazing how God will confirm through them what he's already speaking to my heart. And that builds my faith. You know, that's one thing about prophesying. We prophesy by faith, according to our faith. And then the more we see that happen, the more amazing miracles and testimonies we see and hear, it builds our faith. Because contrary to popular beliefs sometimes, it's not like God gives us all this stuff and we got it and we just step out and say it. Sometimes it's just one word or one picture. And we step out by faith, and then God gives us the next word and the next picture. And I can't tell you how many times I've gotten done ministering to somebody, and it's like, man, I just made all that up. That's what I think. It's like, man, I feel my soul's like, you just made that up. But I look at their face, and they're crying, or they're you can tell they've been impacted. And I know that God has spoken to their heart. So in answer to the question, it's harder to prophesy to yourself. To hear God for yourself.
Yeah.
Get witnesses.
Yeah. And I would say that too, that it's much harder for me to hear for my personal life than it is for me to hear for someone else. It's not only because your soul can be involved, like what Penny said, but I've also found too that God speaks to me differently about my personal life than he does others. You know, we often think that, you know, the prophetic ministry is like, you know, if I can learn to prophesy and get the gift of prophecy, well, woohoo, God will take me to the heavens and all those things can happen, but they're kind of the exception and not the rule. And oftentimes God will give me a phrase or I'll wake up with a song. There are times that he'll speak, you know, when I prophesy to someone, it's much clearer, it's much more pronounced, it's much more obvious to me. But when I'm hearing for myself, it's like the super still small voice. And you've got to be super sensitive. Some things you can't, it's just totally by faith because you can't tell if it's really God or not. So I know for me, my personal life, I think for you guys, it is not easy to hear God for ourselves. It is, we call it the art of hearing God. It's an art. It's a lifelong journey. But God loves it when we build each other up and we refresh one another. That's what the prophetic ministry is primarily for. And so it's like God emphasizes. And so when you do prophesy, there's an exhilaration, there's a feeding and a quenching of your thirst that you get because you see God speaking to you and you get that confirmation. So for me, it's harder to hear for myself, and it's much easier to prophesy to others. Next question. Here's kind of a tough one, but we need to be real with everyone because this is a real part of it. This is not a fantasy. This is not la-la. You know, la-la land, when we start prophesying, it's not some mystical world that you enter into and everything is perfect. We make mistakes. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that we prophesy, that we hear in part and we prophesy in part. And so we only get a little bit of the picture. God only shares a little bit with us. So here's a question. I'll ask Penny, if you want to start out here, Penny. And we're a little limited on time, so I have to keep these a little short. Have you ever discovered you made a mistake in any of your prophecies? And if so, how did that change things for you?
No, never. yes. yes, I have missed it. And it's very humbling. It's very humbling. And the thing about it, though, is how we do business here in the prophetic. We are trained very well. We have safeguards attached to our training. And we do not typically prophesy marriage, moving, or money. Those things are kind of taboo. So we have safeguards involved, but I have missed it. And the best thing you can do is just own up to it and just go to the person and apologize and say, look, I am so, so sorry. I missed it. I'm sorry. And when you do that, I think really God honors that. And the person honors that. They appreciate that you can humble yourself and say, you know what? I missed it, and I am sorry. Usually, sometimes I always do. I tell people, though, if you get a prophetic word and it doesn't happen to make sense at the time you receive it, I encourage you to put it on the shelf of your mind and take it to the Lord for yourself. You can hear the voice of God, and take it to the Lord. Take it to the Holy Spirit and ask Him about it, and He will give you truth. And He will lead, guide, and guard you in truth. But I am so, I just have to say, I am so thankful for the training that I have received. Because we do have safeguards. We do have protocol. And we really try very, very hard to adhere to the protocol. Because the truth is, in prophetic ministry, as many people as you can help is as many people as you can hurt. And it is serious business with God because He loves His people. So we just apologize and say we're sorry and repent.
Very good, very good. Brad?
Well, I can remember, I was thinking about this morning, and I can remember one time I was still new to the prophetic. I'd only been doing it for just a couple years, and actually I was getting a lot of pats on the back, and I was starting to think I was pretty special and all that kind of garbage. And I remember prophesying to this guy one time. I'll never forget this. And it was almost like we, you know, the term gang tackled, it was like we gang prophesied him. And it was like a whole group of people. And they were like almost, I think everybody meant well, but the guy started crying. And I prophesied something about how God was disappointed, or, you know, I can't remember the words. It's like 17, 15 years ago. I basically said to him that God was disappointed that he was a smoker and that God wanted him to clean up his act. And he ended up leaving the church for 6 months. Because of what I said. And he almost committed suicide, they said. And I thought I was right in saying that. But I'm glad I learned it. I learned that lesson at the heart. He finally came back, and I asked him to forgive me, and he forgave me. And I told him I was out of line. So I try to be really, really careful, because like Penny said, you can destroy somebody's life. It's a great honor for God to speak through you, but it's so easy to misuse it for personal gain. And I think that's what I did that time. One thing I love about Roy and Emily and, you know, the prophetic ministry here at Voice, Roy and I were together for a long time, but then we were apart for 7 or 8 years, and then we came back together here about 4 or 5 years ago. And the thing I love is the scripture that we always, it's kind of the keynote scripture of Voice Prophetic or Rhema Prophetic Ministry, is 1 Corinthians 14:3, where Paul says, "And we prophesy to men and women for edification, exhortation, and comfort. We want to bless you. We don't prophesy to tear down, to condemn, or to..." And a lot of you guys have probably seen that in prophetic ministry. In the early years, people meant well. I think they just didn't know. But, you know, Paul said it right there. It's to build people up, to bless them, to encourage them. And as you grow in the prophetic, God will give you things about people. He's not going to reveal their deepest, darkest sins, but he'll reveal some things about people, some things in their life that need to change. And through experience, you learn, say it through love. If you filter that through love, it can encourage them. It can help them to move on, to turn the corner, whatever it may be. So whatever you say, you got to be careful how you say it, and always filter it through love, and people will be blessed.
Very good. And just quickly, too, I've also made mistakes in some, I think a lot of it, God is so gracious that I've messed up a lot more than I even know. And many of it is also, too, you are also gracious. You know, we try to, when we're done prophesying, we'll ask you directly, did we mess up on anything? Did we blow it? Was there something clearly that we said that was off target? And we try to make sure that if we did, we take responsibility for it right there before you even leave the room. And but I know that there was one situation that I'm thinking of that I prophesied something, and it was very clear that it didn't come to pass. And because of time, I won't go into the whole thing. But, you know, I went and I made myself accountable to my leaders. I immediately told them. I got with the people who were involved, and I apologized to them. I explained the best to them of what it was, but I made no excuses. And because of that, I feel like God honored it, and they honored it as well. So last question here. I have Brad. You want to start on this one, Brad? And we'll have to try and keep these short. When we tell stories, we can go on.
I know.
What is your favorite story of how God used you in the prophetic ministry?
Well, it's hard just to share one. There's so many. I'm so honored. I get so blessed. You know, people get blessed coming in for prophetic ministry, but I know that we get blessed more. Because I had a lady come up just 2 Sundays ago. She goes, "You remember a prophetic word you gave me 2 years ago? And I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't remember what I ate for dinner last night. But she goes, "You said something about a wall coming down and the details about it." And she started crying, and she goes, "You wouldn't believe it, but I was divorced, and now my husband and I have gotten remarried, and our kids are back together. Everything that you said, that God said through you, came to pass." And I was like, "Praise God." She gave me a big hug, and she just walked away crying. And I was like, that's why I do it right there. That's why I do it. 30-second story. One time I had a picture for a lady. I said, "I see you holding a bunch of carrots and leading people like leading a horse with carrots." And I really didn't want to say it, but I said it. And she's just like, "Oh my gosh, oh my gosh." And I'm like, "What?" And I said, "It has something to do with your ministry. God's going to use you that way." And she goes, "I have a shirt that says, 'I love carrots.'" Now, how many people do you know that have shirts that says, "I love carrots"? I go, "Really?" I go, "That is bizarre. Bizarro. I wasn't even going to say that." And she goes, I go, "So tell me, what does it mean?" She goes, "Well, I just started a new ministry, and I teach people how to do juicing to improve their health. And the main ingredient in juicing is carrots, carrot juice." And I just, my chin just dropped to the floor, and I was like, "Are you serious?" And it sounded so weird. It was a picture I saw. It was so weird. I was like, "I'm not going to say that, God. She's going to think I'm an idiot." But I said, "Oh, I'll step out," and I said it. And look what happened. If I would have held it back, I never would have heard the carrot story.
Very good.
Okay, Penny, what is your favorite story of how God has used you in the prophetic ministry?
Well, the truth is I didn't have a favorite story. And I was sitting with the Lord, just talking to the Lord this morning and pondering this. What was my favorite? And I could not come up with a favorite. So when I can't come up with an answer, I ask God. And I said, Lord, what is your favorite story? Because I have prophesied to, and this is to God be the glory, not me, but I have prophesied to thousands of people over time and space. And so I just didn't have a favorite. So I said, God, what is your favorite story? And as I was meditating, he showed me a picture. And approximately in 2004, I was at the camp at Osceola. And I came out, and there was a woman in the parking lot. And I didn't know her, and she didn't know me. But as I looked at her, I saw her in a robe as a queen and a scepter in her hand. And I saw this vivid picture over her, and I was stunned, but I had this burning in my heart. I have to tell this woman what I see. So I walked up to her, and I described to her exactly what I saw. I said, I saw you in a queen's robe and a scepter in your hand of authority. And I said, you have headship gifts. You are bound for leadership. And she looked at me like I was from Mars. And I thought I was from Mars because I didn't know this woman. I had never met her. But I knew, I saw what God saw in her. And she was very timid and mousy probably isn't a good word, but timid, gentle, quiet spirit. And she just looked at me like, I just have to tell you, this woman that I prophesied to in 04 is Londa Harwell, and she is head over the healing and restoration ministry here at Voice. And I was stunned, but look at God. He comes through on his word. If he said it, he'll make it good. And so we're so proud of Londa. So that's my favorite story. That's God's favorite story, actually.
And I've got a quick one that I want to share. There's, just like these guys, there's been thousands of prophetic words over the years. And I've been fortunate to get some feedback and hear some testimonies. And it's hard to remember. I mean, sometimes there's those moments that God will really mark something in you and you'll remember those words forever. But I don't see her here tonight. She told me I could use her testimony whenever I wanted to, but and I forget her last name. I'm bad about that. But her first name is Marcia, and some of you may know who I'm talking about. And Marcia had some severe health issues, and it was in a previous building that we had on County Road. I think it was 110. We were there. We used to see Marcia walk around, and Marcia sometimes would have to have a walker with some real heavy medication she was on, but she needed a new kidney. And several years had passed, and, you know, I would see Marcia, and my heart would go out to her because I could really tell that she was going through a lot. Anybody could tell that Marcia was going through a lot. And I think it was somewhere around 2 years ago. Maybe it was 3 years. I think it was 2 years ago, two and a half years ago. She came in for a prophetic word. And when someone like that who has severe issues, you have to be careful how you prophesy. I mean, we're careful anyway, but you really need to be careful because sometimes people will hang on one word you say because they have so much faith and know that, you know, through testimony and everything, this is God speaking. And I wanted to be very careful, but it's also intimidating to prophesy to someone who needs such great breakthrough. You guys understand what I'm saying? And Marcia had let me know something, and she had let me know that she was getting ready to go in for a kidney transplant. And we like it if we don't know anything, you know, because then if we say something that goes along with what's going on in your life, you'll realize it's God and not us. And so I had my job cut out for me, and she was concerned and wasn't sure if she was going to make it or not. She was preparing herself in case God wanted to take her home. But I really felt like the Lord wanted me to prophesy that she was going to live and not die. And that she was going to have a great life. And I can't remember all the things that I'd have to go back and review it. And so what happened was I just stepped out in faith. And, you know, when you do that and the Lord tells you, it's just you take a risk, you get out of the boat like Peter did. And whether you're wrong, you're wrong. You do your very best. If you believe it's God, you say it with as much love as you can, as much care and as wisdom as you can. And that's what I did. And so, you know, I wasn't concerned about my reputation. You know, if you're going to be with walk on the prophetic and you're going to do your very best in that, you can't worry about a reputation. If God wants you to have a reputation, he'll build it for you. Otherwise, you don't try to have a reputation because you'll never be able to live up to a reputation you build. And so anyway, I prophesied to her that she was going to live and not die. And there were some other things involved in it. And after I prophesied, I was just like, God, you need to come through, you know, and then for some reason, I just forgot all about it. I just forgot all about it. And I think it was 2 or 3 months later. I don't know what it was. I think she said she tried to get a hold of me and couldn't. And I saw her, and I couldn't believe the difference. Not only did she live, but she is a woman filled with life. And I just couldn't believe it. And if Marcia was here today, if you could see before and after, how many of you know who I'm talking about? Anybody know who I'm talking about? It was absolutely a creative miracle of God that he used us. And I'm not saying it was just because I prophesied it. I'm sure it was her faithfulness, her walk, and her prayers and many others. But when I prophesied it, I knew God told me to speak it. And it was one of the proudest moments I ever have to be able to participate with God in that situation. So I was really thankful for that. So here's just a few things that we wanted to share with you because we want to demythologize prophetic ministry as much as we can. And some of you have questions that you don't get to answer. So we're going to try to do a little bit more of this to try to help any of you that how to look at this realistically in your life and say, oh, I can see this is how it is with my life. Sometimes we can put people on a pedestal or we can be unrealistic of our expectations of our leaders or those who are in ministry. And so what we want to do is we just want to try to help in any way we can to help you on your journey in hearing God and what prophetic ministry is like for you. So I want to have John, why don't you come up. We're going to minister from the stage for a minute. And we're going to just choose some of you that the Lord happens to stand out. Cause for me, the Lord causes you to stand out is how it works for me. And so after we get done with this, when we get done with ministering from the stage here, we're going to have the whole prophetic team come up that's here tonight, and we're going to offer 1 or 2 minute prophetic personal prophecies for anyone that wants them. You have to have your own phone or your recorder because we don't record them for you. So, but right now we're just going to call out some people as the Lord shows, and we're just going to give a quick prophecy, and we're going to try to minister to as many of you as we can. So I think I'm going to just start real quick. There's a lady with a gray sweater on. You have glasses. You have a band over your hair. What's your name? What's that? Kayana? Okay, Kayana. Kayana, I feel like there's been some discouragement recently. Is that true? Well, I saw the Lord over you, even like a mother hen. I saw the Lord just surrounding his arms were around you. And I felt like there was some emotions that you've been going through that have weighed heavy on you and maybe even made you feel isolated, maybe even made you feel like the Lord wasn't near or that the Lord didn't care. But I clearly hear the Lord say, here I am. I've been with you the whole time. I've never left you. I've never forsaken you, and I never will. And it's like I saw in this picture that the Lord has shown me, like you were facing kind of away from him. You couldn't fully see him as he was behind you and girding you up. And I feel like you're coming into a time where the Lord is going to adjust your perspective, when you're going to clearly see the Father before you, and it's going to change things for you. Maybe your feelings that you've gone through that have been a struggle for you, I see them like, I heard the phrase, all washed away. And I hear the Lord say that there's a heart renewal that God's going to do in you that is going to put you back on the energy path. I feel like it's affected your energy and many things, but I heard the Lord say, you're right there at this moment. Don't lose hope, but to know that the Lord is with you and you've gone through something for a purpose, but season of change is here. And I just heard the Lord say, welcome it in with rejoicing. Amen.
Ready. Is that Francois? Okay, Francois, who's the gentleman, two guys to your right? Yeah, what's your name, sir? Yeah. Lauren? Okay. Well, Lauren, I heard real loud, I heard the phrase, don't hesitate. And I saw a picture of like a railway station, and it was almost like you're waiting for your train to come in. And I saw you getting ready for the train. And I said, don't hesitate, God. What does that mean? And if you ever seen people when they go to get on, when a train comes through sometimes, or like the trolley car, when the trolley car comes in San Francisco, I was there one time for a wedding. And when the trolley car comes, a lot of times they don't stop. You got to jump on. But to jump on, you can't just jump straight on. You got to start to run with it and get your speed, get in sync with it and try to get up to speed with it. Then you jump on. If you try to jump on right away, you probably fall flat on your face. So I hear God saying, don't wait for the ship to come in. I hear him saying that he wants you to get up to speed. Okay. I just sense this is a time not to hesitate, but to get up to speed, to expect it. I hear the word expectation. The Lord is saying, son, expect me to do what you asked me to do. Don't wonder. Don't hesitate. Don't roll it over. I hear God saying, this is a time for great faith. This is a time to stretch your faith, to believe for the impossible, to believe for the opportunity that the Lord has for you. Okay? So I really hear God saying, don't hesitate.
The lady in the glasses right here with the beautiful silver earrings, with the glasses, you? Yes? What is your name? What is it? Irana. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, worship warrior. And I feel like the Lord wants you to know that he's taking you into a deep place of intimacy in worship. And I feel like the Lord is going to give you strategies of how to pray, that he's calling you because you've hungered and thirst for righteousness. You are very hungry for the things of God. And you've been crying out, God, I need more of you. I need more. And so the Lord wants you to know that he's going to begin to download some strategies for you to pray. And I feel like you're called into to kind of come as an armor bearer around leadership, that God is training you in that to cover your leaders. And I really feel like the sun is rising over you, that there's a shift coming for you, and you're moving in from a winter season into a spring season, and there's newness of life and fresh, birds are singing and blossoms, flowers and fragrance, and you're moving from a winter where, you know how a tree is, it looks very dead, and yet in spring it blooms. Who knows how? A mystery. And I feel like that's what God is saying to you, that don't worry, even though it looks like winter, spring is coming for you.
Okay. I'm going to walk out here where I can get a little closer. Third row back. There's a couple sitting there. Okay, are you guys married? I was hoping so. Because we're not supposed to prophesy certain things if you're not married. So, okay. All right. But what's your name? Derek and, Darren and Shirlene. Okay. I just saw Mary and Joseph over you guys. And I just feel like that, for one thing, along with that, I sense that your hearts are just really, like Mary's heart said, Lord, whatever you want to do. And Joseph was willing. He was like, he questioned at first, but then he came along with what God was wanting to do there. So I just feel like that a couple things. One, that God's really going to do some awesome things through you as a couple in your marriage. I just feel like you got your hearts are really towards one another. There's a real power there. And so I just encourage you to just press into all that God's going to do with you guys as a couple. And then also, I just feel like that God's going to bring some new things on the scene. Even like Mary and Joseph birthed the Son of God, I just feel like that there's freshness, there's new life. Joseph and Mary affected their whole community. And I see the Lord using you guys to bring new wine, to bring a fresh life, to just really be an encouragement and really release the freshness, the fragrance, the newness of God around you through your lives. So I just bless you guys as Mary and Joseph.
Lady there in blue, dark blue, you're right on the outside. Yeah, what's your name? Tammy. Tammy, I feel like the Lord has, there's a calling on your life. There's many things that God has called you to do, but I feel like that you have a special grace from God to set people free from things. There's like a deliverance type of thing on your life, inner healing. I'm not quite sure. I heard the phrase really clear, deliverance ministry. So I'm not sure if you're involved in that now, but I also see that God has been, well, from what I understand, He has been reviewing your history lately, that there's been a looking back on some things. And I feel like what this is for is to position you and to know what you've come through, to understand your process. There's been quite a process that God has taken you through. But I see the word of victory over your life, and that even as you have also gained deliverance and freedom from many things that you've come out of through perseverance and pursuing the Lord, that there's also not only those issues, but many other issues that God is going to help you minister and to teach others. I see a teaching grace on you, but I just feel like the Lord is just buckle up, get ready, because there's a lot of new things coming, and I just see like a roller coaster going real fast, and that there may be like an exhilarated season that you're getting ready to go through.
Okay. All right. If you drove more than an hour to get here, raise your hand. Okay, you guys drove more than an hour. Anybody else? Okay, you did? How far did you drive? From South Bend? Okay. Who's more than an hour away? Anybody in here more than an hour away? Oh, way back in the back. I'm sorry. Michigan City. Okay, that's at least, what, hour and a half? Okay, so what's your name? Krista? Okay, we want to prophesy to you because you drove the longest to get here. So that definitely represents hunger on a Tuesday night. Alrighty. Well, you know, Krista, I hear God saying, don't cry over spilled milk. All right? I just hear Him saying that He's a lifter of your head, that this is a time where He's picking up all the broken pieces, He's putting things back together again. And I just hear the Lord saying, daughter, know this, I am for you, not against you. I will not leave you out in the cold. I will not leave you wondering and doubting. But I will build your faith in this season. I will strengthen you. I will encourage you. Her Lord's saying, you're going to go far. All right? Don't second guess, says the Lord, but just believe and trust. I heard the Lord saying, trust in the vision that I put in your heart. And even though the enemy's come and tried to tear it down and tried to say it's of no effect, that it's not going to come to pass. I hear the Lord saying, it will come to pass. Amen.
Very good. Good job.
Could I ask, is there anyone in here tonight that almost did not come to this service? That maybe, you know, there were so many different things. The phone rang, you know, the doorbell rang. You just about did not make it here tonight. The enemy was... Okay, well, I got 1, 2, 3. Wow. I'm going to start on this end. What is your name? Sandra. No, right there. Sandra, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say that He loves you with an everlasting love, and that nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And I sense that the Lord's love for you is completely unconditional. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord, this is a little strange, He wants me to tell you He's just not that hard to please. That you have been really, you know, reading your Bible and fasting and praying and seeking the Lord with everything you have, and you're just saying, God, where are you? And He's been like playing hide and seek with you. But the Lord wants you to know that He loves you. His name is written across your heart. And that there was the grand exchange at the cross, and you are worthy. You are anointed and appointed of God for this season to your generation. And so the enemy has lied to you. Do not believe the lie of the enemy, because you are called in your destiny and identity, and He approves of you. And the enemy is trying to put the roadblock so that you don't step into who you really are in Christ. And He loves you so much, and you are valuable. Do you understand? You are valuable to God. He loves you, and there is a purpose and a plan, and He has a destiny and an identity for you. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, surely it shall come to pass. Surely. Okay? Bless you. Okay, who was the other one that almost didn't make it? What's your name? Sharon. Wow. Sharon. Whoa. You pray a lot. You are an intercessor for the intercessors. And I see you covering so you're an intercessor, but you're an intercessor for the intercessors. So they call you when the intercessors are in trouble. Guess who they call? Well, you know who they call. They call you, right? Because you are the one that will stand in the gap, and you are fearless, Miss Sharon. The Lord is showing me you have a lion heart, and that you are fearless, and you will not back down, because you know who your God is. You know who He is. And that's why, again, the enemy is trying to, deter you, try to discourage you, because you're dangerous. You're dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. And so the enemy does not want you to step into your own. But the Lord said, I am high and mighty, and He's got His hand upon you, and it's irrevocable. The gifts, callings, and talents that God has put on the inside of you before you were in your mother's womb are irrevocable. They will come to pass. As long as you position yourself and say the yes in your heart, it will happen. So I bless you.
Very good.
Now.
Very good. Let's give the Lord. Very good.
We're getting ready to go ahead and call the prophetic team forward in order to so that we can minister to you. Before we do, I just really feel like that we need to do a salvation call. For anyone who is even on the fence about rededicating their life to the Lord, earlier, even during worship, I just kept hearing something about that. And so, hey, Chris, where are you at? This is Chris. He's one of the pastors here at Voice Ministries. And so I just really want to urge you, if you're considering giving your heart to the Lord and you're thinking about it, but you're not sure if you should do it, I'm just going to say it's the biggest gamble of your life that you're taking. Because if for some reason the Lord requires your life tonight, we're not going to try and put fear in you, but you know, this is something that we've got to think about. If the Lord requires your life tonight, are you ready? Are you ready to meet your Creator? Are you ready to stand before your Lord? And I feel like the Lord just really wants to draw you tonight. He is promising you as a daughter or as a son that He wants to father you, that He wants to love you, that He wants to help you. He wants to be your Savior and He wants to be your Lord, but your very best friend He wants to be. And so if you have, if you've never given your heart to the Lord, I want to urge you to come forward. And Chris will pray with you, and he will help you through this. But even if you have in the past maybe given your heart to the Lord and then maybe you've fallen away, if you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, there's no better time than tonight. Don't put it off. Don't delay. Don't wait it out. But now is the time for you. Okay? So if you, if God's tugging on your heart, if that's who you are, I want you to come up right up here. And this, and Chris, what's that? Okay, he's going to move over here in this corner. But go connect with him and get it right with the Lord tonight. Don't wait it out, okay? All right, so I'm going to call the prophetic team forward. You guys can go ahead and go on down. And if you want a personal prophecy and you didn't already receive one, we're going to give 1 minute, 2 minute prophecies, and we don't record these for you. And so we don't record them. This is not a setup. We have backup recorders for our own protocol so that, you know, we can make sure that no one is prophesying someone to quit their job or leave their marriage and so forth. You guys with me? It's a safety net. But these words, we don't record these for you in this setting. So what you want to do is you want to come prepared with your phone, with an app, or a recorder, or pencil and paper. And if you want to go ahead and come on up, you can receive prophetic ministry. As you're coming up, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss those who aren't here for ministry, or who are ready to go home. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for how you ministered to us tonight. We ask that you would teach us all, take us to new levels of hearing your voice, and to new levels of understanding the way you speak, and to new levels of sensitivity within our heart and our mind to be able to recognize when you're speaking to us. Help us, Lord, to remove any hardness of heart that can hinder our ability to perceive and hear your voice. I bless everyone here in the name of Jesus. Every person here and every family, every church, every region represented, we bless in the name of Jesus. So if you want ministry, go ahead and find someone is open and available, and come and get ministry. And if you are coming for salvation, a rededication of your heart, come over here to Chris. Now is the time. Don't wait. Source of life, I can't.
can't truly.